Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to one of our favorite episodes from the Soundcheck Archive.
Brownsville girl, la, 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 with your Brownsville curls, la, 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 teeth like pearls, shining like the moon above. A Brownsville girl, show me all around the world. A Brownsville girl.
Even if you're a big fan of the Bob Dylan catalog, it might take you a second to recognize that this is one of his songs. It's a cover of Brownsville Girl off of Dylan's 1986 record Knocked Out Loaded, but it's sung here by Reggie Watts. The comedian, actor, beatboxer, and one-man band recently contributed this track to the Bob Dylan in the 80s compilation set. And in a moment, we'll talk with him about that and about season 3 of the hit TV series Comedy Bang Bang that Reggie's a part of. But first, he's going to kick things off here in the studio with one of his signature improvised songs. This is Reggie Watts live on Soundcheck.
Come on, little lady, hope you don't get upset. First time I did to know you, do you when you was bad. And I was thinking about them, how they be treating you now. That everything changing round, changing round, changing round, yeah. Hope I wouldn't be someone to find. I got this thing on the special, but you're telling me down.
That is Reggie Watts. Can I just tell you how disorienting that is to listen to on headphones? With the voice going from hard left to hard right, back and forth really fast. And
yeah, man, the hard pans.
So what was that? Are there the bones of a pre-existing song somewhere in what you just did?
There's something I think I did kind of recently that reminds me of that, whatever that was. Yeah, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So you're just kind of making it up.
I'm just making spaghetti or pischetti.
Reggie Watts, the comedian, actor, one-man band with us on Soundcheck today. So you're kind of like Bobby McFerrin's evil twin.
Yeah, it's like an alternate universe, like, Bobby McFerrin.
You know, Yes. The layering of all the different, and the improvisation, doing it all kind of in the moment.
Yeah, I will say that Bobby McFerrin's got he's got ridiculous intonation. His intonation in, like, when he's doing, like, very fast arpeggiated, he's not sliding over them and just kind of, like, approximating it. He's hitting every single note precisely, and probably because he's so fixated on classical music, he has such a great ear, so his voice is razor sharp. It's incredible.
But you notice that because you too have classical music in your background, right?
I do. Yeah. I fake some classical elements if I introduce them into a song. But I was trained classically growing up. I took piano for 16 years, and I was in the school orchestra. I played violin, second violin, for 8 years. It's there. I love classical music.
And when did you discover Bob Dylan, and especially that epic song that you covered recently?
You know, the weird thing is I don't know a lot about Bob Dylan. My girlfriend is a huge, huge Bob Dylan fan, so, and her father is too. So they've, like, given me things to listen to, but I don't know a lot about him other than, like, that's all I know, and some pictures of him being hip, and then that famous interview they did with the sunglasses on.
Which interview with the sunglasses?
Well, he did the one. It was like a famous interview. It was all these reporters around him. He had sunglasses on. He was smoking a cigarette. It was in black and white.
Okay.
And they kept asking
all these ridiculous
questions, and he was being a smartass. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And we
because he still does that now. So
yeah, I guess so.
On the rare occasion,
he's like,
I don't know, man.
You know, that's up to you to decide. Cool. No, I don't know. That's all I knew. And then when these guys approached me to do this song, I listened to the song. I was like, wow, this thing has a lot of words in it. I was like, how can I shorten it? Like, was the thing. But it was great. It was a good assignment because I kind of figured out a way, just something really quickly that happened. And then my friend Matt Kilmer came in and kind of filled in some of the music in the direction that it was headed anyways. And it really helped out.
I mean, one of the things that we've noticed, you know, people who followed your careers, you talk about the Dylan song having a lot of words. You don't need a lot of words to do what you do, whatever that is, whether it's comedy or music. I mean, there's that TED Talk where you're using English words, long, rambly, Monty Python-esque sentences of English words that end up saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just kind of reminds me of the old John Cleese routine where he would just babble.
Oh, really?
You know, just like do the very upper crust English thing and not say a word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I love language, and I love the way language sounds. So for me, as long as something sounds like it's a conversation, that's kind of good enough for me. And so that's what I do. And sometimes there are times when I insert an actual, like, thought, but then that kind of gets glued on to another, you know, thing that kind of trails off into another language or a strange cadence or a bunch of, like, you know, big multisyllabic words stuck together.
So do you listen for, like, the implied melody of speech?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I travel abroad, I really like listening to other languages. And I love the way that each language has a song, and a cadence and a tempo and, you know, regions within countries as well.
You go to Ireland. I mean, people are speaking English, but it's like a completely different English there because they're singing all the time.
I know. They really are. And it's funny. And Scottish specifically is very difficult to kind of understand. It's much more aggressive. Like Irish, there's definitely different regions of Ireland that have, like, tougher, they're kind of tougher to understand. But yeah, it's amazing that in Scotland you're just like, oh yeah, that's it. And it's like, are you Finnish or maybe Danish? I don't know.
We're speaking with Reggie Watts, who is appearing at Town Hall for a headlining show on June 18th as part of the Blue Note Jazz Festival, a nod to your improvisational skills. Do you see yourself coming? Are you jazz adjacent, coming out of a jazz tradition somehow?
Yeah, I identify as jazz adjacent. Yeah, I mean, I went to school. I went to Cornish College of the Arts. I studied jazz voice with Jay Clayton.
That's up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, yeah.
With Jay Clayton.
Jay Clayton. Yeah, Jay Clayton and Beth Winter.
Uh-huh.
And
Jay is a remarkable singer who does not get her due and has been on the scene for decades.
I know. And she sang with Reich.
With Steve Reich, yeah.
And my girlfriend's father was Reich's piano player for a long, 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 long time.
Really?
Edward Neiman.
Edward Neiman.
Edmund.
Edmund, yes. Part of the Neiman-Tillis duo.
Yes, yeah. There you go. So there's like these weird interconnections that happen down the road. But yeah, so I studied jazz for like 2.5 years, sang tons of jazz standards and... learned improvisation. I took it because I wanted to improve my ear to be able to hear better.
So how much of that do you bring to a show like Comedy Bang Bang now in season 3? I mean, how much of that is like just right there in the studio off the cuff?
I mean, it's almost all right there in the studio off the cuff. So basically when we're filming, the director, Ben Berman, will say, or the first AD will come over and go like, oh, we're going to need a plan and play off. And I'll be like, okay, cool. So then while they're setting up cameras, I'll just do something really quickly. I'll just do two things really quickly, save them, and then they're available when the guest comes on like 5 minutes later.
To me, one of the continuing surprises of the show is, you know, a guest walks on or walks off and you hear the music. And every time they cut to you and you're doing the music live, it's still a surprise. Like, oh, he's doing that right there.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's
well, weird. Now, season 3 kicks off with a debate about your name. Listen to this.
Your name's Ryan?
Yeah.
I've been calling you Reggie for 2 whole seasons already.
Really? I don't know. I wasn't paying very close attention, but that was incorrect. You shouldn't have done that.
Look, your name is Reggie in the credits.
Yeah, well... that's a typo. And quite frankly, I'm surprised you haven't learned my name because I told you that it rhymes with lion.
Look, okay, tell you what. We'll just start over. Let's say hello to our good friend, Ryan Watts.
Everybody here knows I love to argue. You know it's true. I'm a lollipop.
That is Scott Aukerman and Reggie Watts from season 3 of Comedy Bang Bang, which is the current season. It airs Thursday nights at 10:30 on IFC and... Did you ever wonder how different your life would be if you weren't named Reggie? Like, if your name was Ryan?
Yeah, I do think about that sometimes, like, because I love the idea of parallel reality. So, like, I try to project, what would that be like to have a... Because I feel like some people really hate their names, and I've never not liked my name. I always thought, oh, this is a good name. It's solid.
Try John.
Yeah, John Watts. It's like, oh, yeah, he's maybe a composer or specifically soundtrack work. I don't know.
I mean, it's not as common as it once was, but when I was growing up, someone said John in a room, and half the room would turn and look.
That's right, yeah. You
know? So it's kind of, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird, like, because I always think about that, like, names affect people's... personalities a bit,
yeah,
you know, to a degree, because like when someone's like, when your name ends with an E sound, generally you're thought of as more cheerful, you know,
right.
Or a little bit, you know, jollier. If someone uses the diminutive or just like the nickname of their name and they choose the one that has the E at the end of it, usually they're like, oh, I'm much more brighter and bubblier.
So you could have gone with Reg
or Reginald,
right?
Yeah,
but you went with Reggie.
I went with Reggie. I don't know. I didn't choose that. I don't know what happened. It just ended up that way, guys.
Reggie Watts is with us on Soundcheck today, host of the web series Reggie Makes Music. Now, this basically is where you sort of hijack the guests from Comedy Bang Bang and make them do stuff with you, like live music, music making with what? Any kind of... preparation, or you just throw them in the deep end? And
no preparation. They usually will approach the guest and I'd say most of the time surprise them, but say, like, hey, would you want to do this? And they'll be like, I don't know what that is, but sure, I guess. And then they stand, they're just standing next to me. And then I just explain to them, they can tell a story, they can sing, they can do whatever they want. And, and sometimes I'll ask them if they want a tempo or something, but mm-hmm. oftentimes just like start playing and see what happens.
So when Patton Oswalt was on the show, whose idea was it to talk about tea, drinking tea?
That was his idea.
That's his
idea? Yeah, he was... I don't know where it came from. I think it's because he asked for a tea. just before doing that, and someone brought him a tea, so I think that's what it was.
All right.
I know, very complicated.
So after he did his, like, proper appearance on Comedy Bang Bang, whatever that means.
Yes, a proper appearance, yeah.
He ends up in a room with my guest Reggie Watts, and this is what happens.
Don't steep my tea too long. I don't like it too strong. Steep it for 3. Give it to me. Give it to me. A bitter cup. My cup of tea.
That is Patton Oswalt with my guest Reggie Watts on Reggie's web series called Reggie Makes Music. You can watch the video of that performance on our website at soundcheck.org. He has a kind of almost minimalist, like, Kraftwerk approach to the lyrics in that song.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's the first time I've heard it.
Really?
Since we did it.
Okay.
And I was listening to it. I was like, who is that speaking? It sounds like a legitimate kind of introspective song you'd get on some album or whatever, someone's remix or something like that. That was cool. It sounded good.
All right. Well, now here you are, you know, sitting ironically with your back to the piano, your original instrument.
Yes.
But surrounded by your little black boxes, none of which are actually black, but, no. You know, they do all the effects and the layering and the looping that you need. So You want to put something together for us?
Sure. Let's see what happens.
Reggie Watts live on Soundcheck.
I heard rumors, but I
I don't know.
Reggie Watts, live on Soundcheck, and another improvised song here in the Soundcheck studio. He is performing at Town Hall on Wednesday, June 18th here in New York as part of the Blue Note Jazz Festival. So is this likely to be what people – I mean, is this generally what people see when you do a quote-unquote show, a concert?
Yeah, I mean, it varies. But, yeah, I mean, I used to focus mainly on trying to make everything funny. But now when I do live shows and I have an hour and a half to do stuff I like to change between different emotional ranges. So sometimes I like to go just full on sincere. Here's something that I am feeling now in this moment, you know.
Well, even that song that you just put together here, you know, goes from "we know" to "I don't know," you know. So by the end of the song, you've sort of undercut the whole kind of.
Yeah, it's just like erase it. Let's just erase the song.
Well, I mean, there's so you've gone someplace in like the span of 4 minutes, which.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like it's some kind of a fluid journey of sorts, you know.
Yeah. And the idea that you can be a virtuoso at these little knobs and dials, it's sort of, you know, it took a long time for people to come around to the idea that a turntablism, that you could be a virtuoso scratcher of records and stuff. And I think now, you know, we're finding the same thing with all these little gizmos, what you can do with them.
Yeah.
Because, again, just to let folks know, you didn't have anything pre-prepared there. Everything was built as we heard it here in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, you know, in the 90s, I had a lot of DJ friends, and I would watch them, you know, spin records, and something I can't do. I can't beat match at all, like with just, you know. Maybe if I was using some of those fancy programs that the DJs use nowadays, everything's automated, so you know you don't necessarily have to learn that. But anyways,
but there was a real art to that.
There was a total art to that.
I couldn't do it either. Yeah. I was like, oh come on!
It's so easy. It's like kind of the same beat, right? And you're just like, oh no, do I graze it to slow it down? No. Now I'm adjusting the speed. Now what's this one do? Oh no, it was just it's a huge mess to me. It doesn't make sense. But if I'm managing like samples and loops, for me that kind of starts to enter that territory of kind of turntablism where you're messing with faders that are usually just like, I'd like that not to be as loud. It's just a volume fader. But once you start messing with it in an extreme way, it turns into an effect. So, yeah, I like integrating with the simple machines that I use.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the voice, the simplest of all machines.
Yeah, I know. It's so nice to be able to just show up and go, well, this is what I have. And they're like, that's all you have? It's like, yeah, that's it.
And yet,
I used to carry a lot of gear, and now I don't have to
anymore. Yeah. Well, it's turned out to be enough. Now, I know Ice-T is a fan. You were on his podcast recently, right?
Yes, Final Level.
And what was that like?
It was a trip. I mean, it's crazy. I showed up and his friend, Bentley? No. Anyways, it sounds like Bentley, but like
his
a fancy
familiar,
car. His
human handler,
his co-star, who was really sweet. It was really cool. You know, he got up. You know, he met me in the parking lot, and then he took me up. And Ice came down with his two bulldogs, and like they had to go to the bathroom outside, so we waited for them, and then we went up to his place, and he's got like this cool pad. You know, it's like it's in New Jersey. It overlooks the water. It's
really?
Like, yeah, it's like shore or something, or you know, it's like you can see Manhattan across the water. And we got in there, and it was just a trip, you know, to see what he's doing and like what he's into. And it was mostly him kind of talking. You know, they're trying to get me in there, but I was mostly just kind of observing the experience because it was so unusual for me to be there. I'm like, that was the guy that I used to listen to. Because my friends listened to him.
So did you know him as the rapper or as the guy from Law & Order SVU?
You know, I never have seen any of those Law SV, RSX 360s, whatever those procedurals, right, as they say. I remember seeing scenes of him or like, you know, screenshots of him like as his character. And that was all I knew. So I just knew the rapper from like the early 90s. Early 90s. And then suddenly he's in a television program that I see screenshots of. So that's all I knew. But he's a really sweet guy and... he's cool. He's
had
really
nice
mellow.
Had nice things to say about you. This is Ice-T on my guest Reggie Watts.
Reggie is a mother. Okay, follow me. What I'm saying, he is a mother, and I'm sitting there, and it's hard to drop Ice-T's jaw.
Yeah, I guess that's about his.
So he just goes right. He gets right to it. Man. Oh man, no beating around the bush.
Well, he surprised me because he really understood where I was coming from. He was saying he was saying that people think of me as a beatboxer. And he's like, you're not a beatboxer, you're a musician, you know, and you use your voice. And he got that immediately.
First of all, not to say that beatboxers are not real musicians.
No, they're not. To go back. They're a bunch of punks. No, I mean, the thing with beatboxing, generally, you're kind of like, it's like being a drummer.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're a beatboxer, you do
rhythms.
There
are people who believe that drummers are musicians.
No way. Come on, man. We're going way off base. No, but you know what I mean? It's like when you kind of say, like, I'm this instrument in the musical spectrum. So, like, for beatboxing, a lot of times... It's about being able to make beats with your mouth, but also you do routines. You know, like you'll create a routine. So you'll do like covers of like popular hip hop tunes, or you go like way back in time, or you'll like do something real popular, and you create these kind of like tricks. So it's kind of like being a skateboarder, you know, like at a skate park and like doing a run and trying to like get in some badass tricks. But so beatbox is kind of like that. And then the other end is just like holding it down while people are in a circle, you know, just freestyling or whatever. Mm-hmm. And generally that's what it is. And there definitely are musicians, but when you start entering into the land of having looping machines and being able to have multiple tracks and creating stereo mixes, that's live production. So it's a little bit different. It's just live production that uses the voice primarily as the instrument.
As a source material, yeah. Yeah. Reggie Watts, the comedian, actor, one-man band, co-host, and band leader of IFC's hit surrealist talk show, Comedy Bang Bang, also hosts his own web series, Reggie Makes Music. Comedy Bang Bang's on Thursday nights at 10:30 on IFC. Reggie, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
My absolute pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this encore edition of Soundcheck. Consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.